Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Green and Blacks. A rich, smooth, and truly delicious chocolate experience.
Of engaged couples last year, they didn't actually make it to the chapel because so many weddings, 70% of the 22,000 annual weddings in this country were postponed in 2020. So what do the couples due to get married in 2021 do? If you're planning a wedding for over the next 12 months and the next couple of months, how do you proceed? What should you be booking? What are the things that you need to address straight away? Well, Sarah Kennedy, who's a founder of the award-winning Irish Wedding Blog.ie and the author of the Ultimate Wedding Planning Guide in Ireland, joins us here on Lunchtime Live this afternoon. Sarah, thanks for being with us on the show today. For couples who've got engaged in recent weeks, I suppose, what are the main things they need to start thinking about?
Well, first, thanks for having me. So, look, I think the big thing with couples getting engaged at the moment, particularly over the Christmas period where we saw a huge volume of engagements, was that the big thing is actually getting their head around the current playing field. So for many who have been planning or had booked a wedding and have had to postpone, they've kind of got adjusted to how to plan in this sort of environment. But for, you know, new couples, this is very daunting. And where do you start? So, you know, I always say you have to start with the date. And the big component with the date is really around ceremony availability and, of course, the venue. The venue is the biggest chunk. And the difficulty that couples are having at the moment is obviously they can't get out to view the venue. So with that, people are having to get creative. And so many venues are doing the likes of the virtual show arounds and one-to-one consultations online. And I think that's the big thing at the moment, is really for couples to start using this time to investigate, shop around and understand pricing, because the pricing piece seems to knock couples, you know, for six a lot of the time, because they think it would cost one part. Well, they think, you tend to find roughly every year, the research tells us that roughly 60% of couples go over budget every year. So when and the majority of that time is generally down to not really understanding how much things cost, because it kind of feels like there's all these different costs that clock up randomly with the wedding. But they have an opportunity now to really lay down those prices and compare them logically, because what you find is when people go to book weddings, they get caught up in the emotion and the excitement of it, that they may overlook, you know, the, you know, those different pieces around hidden costs, additional costs that might creep in. So there's ample opportunity to do that. And plus, okay, going into now the next 2 years, prices are going to go up, given that the scales demand that we're approaching.
Well, we actually want to hear from, you know, whatever brides and grooms to be on Lunchtime Live today. So if there's anybody who's planning a wedding in the next 12 months and you're tuned into us here on News Talk, 1890 453 106 is the number. If you have any questions that you want to ask Sarah live on air today, or you can text us as well. It's 53106. I do have a message for you in here, Sarah, from one of our listeners who says, we got engaged. The biggest problem now is actually trying to find a date in 2021. Yes. We're even struggling for 2022.
I know. So look, prime dates, it depends on where you look, right? There are still venues that have contacted me saying, you know, yeah, look, we're busy, but, you know, there's still plenty of weekend availability. But what I've been saying, there's a lot of couples that have come to me and said, oh, you know, we had a heart set on a Friday in August. And that's very difficult, particularly if you're going to a prime venue. So what I'm saying is that think openly and think outside the box.
Are you telling me I'm going to start going to weddings now on Mondays and Tuesdays? Because I already have a thing about Thursday weddings.
Well, I think for so many couples as well, there's an understanding, particularly those who have postponed, and they could be up to their fourth, fifth postponement at this stage, coming off the back of last year, that there's a lot of advantages in moving midweek. I know that there is that extra
not
day
for your
off
guests,
work,
there's not, Sarah.
Not for your guests. But what
this
I'm
is 2 days annual,
you know,
leave now straight away.
And what you will find, though, even for many people, if they're getting married on a Friday, some people would take the Thursday off as well. Or there are options to go with Sundays, particularly those who aren't going down a Catholic church route, that you could still go ahead and get a Sunday. So there's still that one day, no different than a Friday. But having worked in weddings for a long time as a wedding coordinator, the initial thought of a wedding, oh God, it's midweek. The reality is, I've seen for years that, you know, couples and guests that arrive midweek, there's not a big issue. And couple, you know, the guests are in flying form. There doesn't appear to be any begrudgery. And I've gone to many midweek ones myself, and there's not an issue for me. But there is a saving for the couple, and for so many to actually then start thinking about, oh, do we go to 2023 for the sake of the Saturday? Does it really matter that much? Like, pull it forward. Do it when you can, and just enjoy enjoy the terms that you can get married under, because you can't put your life on hold for the sake of one day either.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I know what you're saying. I suppose it's, you know, when you get that year, you have those sort of years where you, I think there's one year I had the guts of 10 weddings in the one year.
Same.
And I was bridesmaid at two of them. And then you start to see the Thursday weddings coming in, and next thing there's a hen party that they want, you know, they want to go to England then for the hen party. And sure, why would you go out on a Friday when you could go on a Thursday? And next thing, you know, one wedding out of 10 is 4 annual leave days. So when you get a couple of them all in the one year, you start to calculate it up like this.
Oh, absolutely. And this is the reality now for the next year.
I know,
for all of us.
I was only joking with a friend the other day, making that very point. Somebody's wondering, venues, why are they increasing prices for 2022? Sure, we're all having less people now at the weddings.
Well, not necessarily. So there is a backlog who are dying to have their big wedding. So I suppose that's one thing to note. But naturally, every year across the board and venues, that they would increase their prices marginally every year. And what we're faced with going into 2022, 2023, that demand is just so strong that most are going to use that as a time to increase their price, which they would have done naturally. And as well, so many actually did refurbishments and upgraded their properties, their venues in that time. And I suppose that's the other logic behind that as well.
Signing contracts and wedding insurance, a text in from one listener, a little bit concerned about that. When we don't know what's happening this year.
Yeah, well, first of all, I'd get insurance. Just watch in your insurance to make sure that they are covering you for any kind of COVID-related issues. Say that this goes on longer than we envisage. But the one thing I would say about the contract is you have to ask for flexibility with your vendors when you go to book. So be very clear and get it written down and even embedded into the contract that if we are still under a restricted environment, what does this mean? It's very important that you get that and ask those questions and don't be afraid to ask. I've had so many couples over the weekend that were just like, oh, I didn't know I could ask for that. You can. You are well within your right to ask for clarity and flexibility in respect to COVID-19 in your wedding contract.
Okay, so you can look for that then?
You can. Like, at the end of the day, what you're finding is there is, you know, all venues have had to adapt to whatever, you know, guidelines are put in place. So it's just making sure that you will be honoured with that same, you know, flexibility that others in the last year have been offered as well.
Now, I've a lot of messages, Sarah. I want to try and fly through them. People texting us here. It's the News Talk text line. It's 53106. How do we decide who's going to be in our 25 without upsetting almost everybody? As we know, we're just going to go ahead in March, whatever about the restrictions.
Yeah, so this is a really good one because there's so many whose immediate family alone doesn't cover 25. But I have on my podcast, I interviewed Choopy Sweetman, and she basically said when she was composing her wedding list, I only invited the people who I knew I would ring at 2 a.m. in the morning, that, you know, if I needed to go to hospital, right? So there's that one list, which really sat at me. And also, I think that the reality for so many is if you do have that issue with the huge family with the 25, think of the 25, I suppose, legal binding of your marriage is that's, you know, your ceremony, and then go back and have the bigger party at a later stage where you can invite all of the people that you really want there.
I don't mind the
but
family.
But also 25 isn't a target. No, but like 25 isn't a target. So if it's easier for you to just bring 10 because that's, you know, the number before it starts to get a bit.
I think there's people as well, Sarah, that are actually secretly loving the COVID weddings because it means they don't 100%. Have to invite the entire family and all the friends, and they can get away now with having the wedding on the cheap.
You are bang on. So I suppose there's two sides to it. So I know a lot of people who were engaged for a long time but weren't making any move because it wasn't financially viable, because the expectation would be to bring the big one. They've just jumped, got married, gone ahead with 25 there last year. And then there's others that are kind of saying that, oh, I want the big wedding, but then they get to the 25 and realise, actually, that was really nice and I'm happy to have an informal party next year. And then there's others that, you know, they're the flip side, that they're like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and get legally married, but by no way am I not having my big party. But yes, you can absolutely use it to an opportunity, because there are some that never even wanted the big party in the first place, and there wasn't that social acceptance to have a smaller wedding. Whereas here you are, you know, you can really ride the coattails of it.
Well, I have to say, if our text messages here and the level of questions, Sarah, are anything to go by today, there's a huge amount of people planning to get married this year.
Yes.
So much so, if you don't mind, I'm going to ask you actually to stay with us here on Lunchtime Live. We're just going to take a short commercial break, and we're going to come back to you with loads more questions from our Lunchtime Live listeners in just a few moments.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Green and Blacks. A rich, smooth and truly delicious chocolate experience.
53106, if you have a question here for our wedding expert. Sarah Kennedy is still with us on Lunchtime Live today. Sarah, lots of our callers have got in touch with us here with questions for you. Kira's on the line in Galway. Kira, what did you want to ask Sarah today?
Hi, Sarah. I just wanted to ask, we're due to get married in April, and ideally we're like hoping for 100 guests, but we have a backup date in June. But some of our suppliers aren't actually available in the June date. So what would you recommend that we would do?
Okay, so very similar situation to most, because the suppliers have had this movable feast with their dates. So what I would do is, within your plan B, you said that you've got your backup for that second date.
Yeah.
So what I would do is, and as hard work as this is, you need to plan a second revision of who those suppliers would be for that second one. Now, the difficulty you're going to come up against is if you've put deposits down for a second one. So what I would do is I would stay in touch with those suppliers till the final straw that you have to make a decision. And some you may have to lose and some you can go ahead and put a deposit down. I think nobody knows what the numbers are going to be. And if it is a target for yourself to say, look, I want 100 people, the guarantee of getting 100 people for April, we don't know that yet. So you could be waiting and waiting and then lose some really good suppliers for the sake of pushing out to June. So I think that's really the biggest decision that you have to make is really, what date are you more comfortable sitting with to give you that assurance to get closer to the bigger number.
I hope that answers your question, Kira. I also, Sarah, have another Sarah on the line as well, actually, in Wicklow. Sarah, thanks for making contact with us. What did you want to ask Sarah Kennedy here today?
Thanks so much, guys. Hi, Sarah. Yeah, we just got engaged just before Christmas there, and we're starting to plan the wedding, but we know we don't want a religious ceremony or anything in a church, and we're the first people to do that. So we're just trying to work out what exactly our options are, and what the different, we hear about secular and civil and humanist, so we're not really too sure what the difference between them are.
Okay, great question, and it's one that comes up quite a lot, and I actually have articles on my website that break that down. So there's many ways. So one route that you can do is you can go through the registrar, which is the legal part, right? This is pure the legal signing, and you can do that through your local registry office. Dublin City have a beautiful registrar, and a lot of the pictures coming out of it at the moment are just spectacular of couples that get married in Dublin City Hall. So then when we think of the layers that go on top of that, there are different areas, whether they're there's humanist ceremonies, and there's different, I suppose, viewpoints in terms of faith that can legally marry you. So it depends on finding that right match against that, I suppose, that spiritual faith that you may have. Now, what you could do, which a lot of couples do, is they get married in the registrar, but then they go and have a celebrant perform a blessing. which is probably a lot. It's very personal in the same way as depending on the faith orientated legal ceremonies that you can do. But the celebrant would be, you can write your own script with that. So you're not tied to a certain format or a certain, way of being married. You can, if you want to have a reading from a book that you love or a music lyrics read out, you can do that. There's a lot of flexibility across the board, but I do have articles up on my site that breaks down the difference between the different types of ways you can get married.
I hope that answers your question to Sarah and Kira. Thanks for making contact with us here on Lunchtime Live this afternoon. I have another text for you as well, Sarah, here from a listener. If we pay a deposit on a credit card for part of the wedding and that supplier goes bust, can we get that money back? Thanks. It comes from Ruth, who's planning a wedding in July of this year, I should say.
So there's two parts to that. There's the piece around the credit card and how you can, protect your investment through your credit card, which I'm not totally au fait with. Somebody from a finance background might be able to support that answer. Okay. But typically, once you pay a deposit to a venue, and if you've signed that the deposit is non-refundable, then in theory, it's non-refundable. What venues will do majority of the time, they will try and postpone or give you an alternative date, or try work with you to reconstruct what your wedding would be with, if it is a financial constraint or a number constraint, etc. So I'm not 100% sure on the credit card company how that might work. But you would have to check in.
Just
with
check
the contract.
That out. Somebody else wondering, is the registry office in Dublin definitely City Hall? This listener says they were told different.
So there's the actual physical registrar where it would be less fancy, but you can get legally married in Dublin City Hall.
Okay. Somebody else wondering about save the dates. With the numbers so uncertain at the moment, should our save the dates go to everybody and then the invites to the smaller number? Or how many people should get the save the dates? Are we better to over or under invite, according to this listener?
Well, I think it depends on when you're planning on getting married. If it's within the next couple of months, you're probably better off going with lower. Or what I'm seeing people do is on the save the date thing, while it is our intention to have you at our wedding, under the current restriction environment, we may have to review the guest list, but we will discuss that with you close to the time. But a lot of people would be guaranteed with whatever about save the date, because you're not being asked to RSVP to save the date. But when an invitation goes out, you can expect to get anything from a 5 to 20% drop off, depending on the volume that you've gone for. But with the save the date, you're not really being expected to RSVP. But you can always give yourself that little bandwidth of that 10%. Okay. But you know, the numbers game is a tricky one play around with that, because sometimes you've got our B team.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you don't get the save the date, you've only fallen in on the second or the third list. This listener is wondering, I've a wedding booked and paid a €2,000 deposit. I now want to change the venue, though. I'm happy to lose the deposit, but can I be sued for that?
So, no, you shouldn't really. Now, what some venues do is they write into the contract, you know, a cancellation period, where if you cancel X months out, you owe this. If you cancel X months out, you owe this. So what I would say in that scenario is, before you go and do anything, it is important that you get somebody that is from a legal profession, family solicitor, to just look at that and see, you know, because, you know, not every contract is written the same way. So it's really important to look at the wording within that and the context within it. But if you've signed up and your obligation is that if you walk away 2 weeks before the wedding, it's not just your deposit. You would be required to pay what you owe. But, you know, if you've got a good volume of a period of time of notice that you're giving the venue, then there should be no issue.
Sarah Kennedy, the founder of the award-winning Irish Wedding Blog.ie and the author of the Ultimate Wedding Planning Guide Ireland, thanks a million for joining us here on Lunchtime Live this afternoon. Still a huge number of you getting in touch with us, and I have to say, the one question a lot of people asking today: when are we going to know about the numbers for this year? Well, look, hopefully in the next week or so, towards the end of January, we should start to find out what's happening with these restrictions. It will be something we'll keep you posted on here on News Talk, though, when that happens.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Green and Blacks, a rich, smooth, and truly delicious chocolate experience.
And there's still lots of you getting in touch with us here on the News Talk text line about weddings. in 2021. This listener says something to consider. I would absolutely hate to be invited to a wedding this year with all the worry about COVID. I'd really appreciate if my friends just eloped like we did. Another listener says midweek dates work well for weddings, especially as you have to finish early, so there's no problem for people working the next day. And some people would prefer to see a summons dropping into the letterbox than a wedding invitation. Another listener not happy with the suggestion that I made a little bit earlier in the show, that there's going to be more people invited to weddings on a Wednesday and a Tuesday and a Thursday, and the fact that you might actually have to take two annual leave days off. Yeah, look, it's not a Wednesdays and Thursday weddings don't appeal to me, but I might make an exception this year, seeing as we're in a global pandemic. You can keep them coming into us. It's 53106, or if you want to join the conversation on air, it's 1890 453106.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Green and Blacks, a rich, smooth, and truly delicious chocolate experience.